Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
This morning, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. And today, I'm going to really ask you to zero in and focus with me for the next 30 minutes. Because the message that I'm going to speak today, I believe, is prophetic in nature. And I also believe that the principles and the things that we're going to talk about today can really propel you and advance you into the calling of God for your life. So today, follow me. I believe that God has a word for you. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. Say amen if you have it. Amen. Come on, that was weak. Say amen if you have it. All right, work with me this morning. Remember, if you like what I'm saying, say. If you don't like what I'm saying, say. No, God help me. Don't get mad at me if you don't like what I'm saying this morning, because all I'm trying to do is preach the word of God in truth. Amen? How many know that truth hurts? I wouldn't be, a good pastor if I didn't step on your toes every now and then. Come on, somebody. How many know that the word of God challenges our perspective, our theories, our thought process, and even the philosophies we've conjured up over the years. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 8, the Bible says this: "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain.'" Look at the person next to you and say, "You've stayed here long enough." Verse number 7 says, "Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites." The New Living Translation says, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on." He goes on to say, "Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Araba, in the mountains, in the western hills, in the Negev, and along the coast of the land of the Canaanites, Lebanon, and as far as the great river and the Euphrates. So I have given you," he goes on to say, "see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." Let's pray one more time. God, I need you. I'm asking you, Father, to speak clearly. I pray that you would deal with us individually, but collectively. And I pray that you would inspire us, God, to do great things. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. You know, going into 2019, the theme of the year for us as a church is going to be moving forward. And as I was praying, God, give me direction for our church. One of my prayers is, God, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at today, and I don't want to stay the same. You know, when it comes December of 2019, I don't want to be battling the same battles that I'm facing in 2018. I want to be able to say that in 2019, I overcame some things and some hurdles that have been trying to plague me for some time. So 2019, I believe, is going to be a year of moving forward. But how many know that before you can move forward, you got to move on from some things? Somebody work with me this morning. You know, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, here God is, I'm going to give you some background to what's happening. Here God is commanding the people of Israel to leave Mount Horeb, and he initiates their journey towards their promised land. God instructs them to break camp and to move on. But what's interesting about this command to move on was not as simple as moving from one place to another. God's command to break camp and to move forward was a huge step of faith, because it was going to cause the people of Israel to step out of their comfort zone and step into the unknown. How many know that before real change and real faith is built within us, sometimes we got to leave the comforts of what we've always known? "Well, this is the way we've always done it, Pastor. This is the way it's been in my family for years." But God is challenging you to understand his word and the plan that he has for your life and your family in this season. See, Mount Horeb was a place where God established and organized his people. It was the place where God revealed himself to his people and taught them how he desired for them to live. What you have to understand about this mountain that God was asking them to leave, Mount Horeb represented a place of safety. It was a place of comfort. By moving forward, it forced God's people not only out of their comfort zone, but it was now propelling them into the fulfillment of the promise he had for their lives. And this morning, I want to make something very clear. If you didn't know, I want to just say it to you, is that God has promises for your life that he intends for you to take captive, to take hold of, but you're going to have to move on from where you're at today if you're going to enter into the land that God has for you. You know, when God called the people out of Egypt and to cross over the Jordan, did you notice that Moses didn't cross the Jordan? Who crossed the Jordan? It was Joshua. Now, what was that? Did you know that Moses represented a certain way of thinking? And although he was an obedient man, how many know it was his disobedience that cost him the promise? Are you hearing me this morning? So what I'm trying to say to you, you cannot cross over the Jordan and conquer the land of Canaan with an old mindset. See, there are some that God is trying to deal with the way that we think. He's trying to deal with some pride in our life. He's trying to deal with the authority problems that we have. He's trying to deal with surrendering and submission and the act of obedience within us individually so that we can be conquerors in all situations. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be victim to my circumstance. Right? I've learned that you can either be a victim of your circumstance or you could be a student of your circumstance. The common denominator is you're going to grow one way or another. You can either grow by accident or you can grow intentionally. Are you hearing me this morning? See, God didn't just tell the people to move. He gave them a specific instruction. Listen to what he says carefully. He says, go to all the neighboring places of the Abora. He tells them, go to the mountain of the hills, to the Negev and the coast. He tells them to go through the land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon and the Euphrates. But watch what he says. See, I have given you this land. Now go and take it. See, God was commanding the people to move from Mount Horeb to take possession of the land. The land represented God's promise. He tells them, you take it. Now, you know what that word take means? It means to seize, dispossess, take possession of, and to occupy. See, the word go and take represents actions and responsibility. He was saying, you've stayed at this mountain long enough where I have shown you my way of life. I have shown you the way I desire for you to live. But now I need you to leave your safe haven and I need you to go to the place that you may not know and where I'm directing you, but I have some good news for you. Everything that I taught you at Mount Horeb, it's time for you to expand. See, the mountain of God was considered holy. So when God taught them how to live there and he gave them instruction and the way he gave them instruction through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you can read what God wanted from their lives. What he was now doing by sending them out, he was now expanding holiness throughout the land. I believe that this is the word of the Lord to our church, that God wants to take us through a season of responsibility and of maturity. God has a promise for this church and he has a promise for you and your family, but in order for you to fulfill that promise that God has for your life, you're going to have to take personal responsibility and you're going to have to move on from some things. God wants to work within our lives, but we can't just say, okay, God, I'm right here, you do everything. Because if God did everything, how many know that we wouldn't necessarily be grateful? Like, you ever notice that I'm grateful for the things that I actually paid for? Right? People that don't pay for their cars don't really take care of their cars. But when you got to pay a payment and you got to pay insurance, and if somebody hits your car, how many know it hurts just a little bit more? Why? Because you paid a price for it. See, some of us, we got to get to a place where we're not just showing up to church, but we're now investing into the church. And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about sweat equity. I'm talking about putting our hands to the plow. I'm talking about making a difference in a broken family. I'm talking about making a difference to somebody that's hurting. I'm talking about sacrificing my time and maybe some of my dreams for the sake of seeing somebody else move forward. Are you hearing me? What's it going to take to build God's church? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What is it going to take to build the house that God wants? Because one of the things that God was reminding me of is that God has a plan for this church. When they asked me to take over the church, I had a good job. I owned my house. Everything was great. I loved serving next to my pastor. I had no problems. But I remember they came to me and they said, "Eric, there's a vacancy and they need a pastor in Tacoma." And I remember thinking to myself, "Well, man, if God called me, I'll do it." But I told my pastor, I said, "I'll go if God confirms. And I know that he calls me." I remember my pastor looked at me and said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to pray. As a matter of fact, I'm going to set it up for you to go preach. And I want you to see what God shows you." I remember coming to Tacoma. And I was looking for a confirmation. I was looking for a promise from God. And I'll never forget that, you know, in Seattle, it's hard to find good tacos. It is hard to find good Mexican food. Just where somebody or two uptight. No, I'm being dead serious. So I drove around. I started seeing hurting people, and I was like, wow. You know what's funny? With the way that Victory Outreach, we go into scout lands, and when we look to plant churches, we don't go looking for the best neighborhood. I started getting excited. I seen a Dolphin on the corner. I said, this is where we need to be. I took a wrong turn on accident, and I went down Hosmer, and I seen broken people, and I thought to myself, this is where we need to be. And passing Hosmer, I somehow made a left turn, and I came to this place off 70. I think it was 75th and Park, and I found a taco place. I said, man, this is the Lord, amen. In all honesty, though, let me tell you what he spoke to me. And I forgot the word that he gave me. But this is the exact scripture that the Lord confirmed. I was praying. I said, God, speak to me. Because it is a big thing to walk away from your job. I had two little kids. My son was 2 years old. My other was 4. And there was no guarantee. They said, you're going to go, but you're going to have to work. And there's no guaranteed pay. But I asked God, I said, God, what do you want for my life? And this is what he gave me. John 4:38. He said, I sent you to harvest where you did not plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. That was the word that God gave to me. My wife also prayed and she fasted, and she told me this morning, and we were having the conversation and being reminded of that time in our life when we were stepping into fulfillment and in our calling. She said, I remember praying, closing my eyes, and I seen a large congregation. She didn't see a crowd, because there's a difference between the crowd and the congregation. The crowds only come sometimes. The congregation sticks together in unity and walks in conformity to fulfill God's plan. She said, I seen a large congregation. I seen people of all ages, people from all backgrounds. I seen young and old. They were lifting their hands and they were worshiping and giving glory to Jesus. You have to know that God has a plan for this church, and you're part of the plan. I don't think that you just walked in by happenstance. I don't think that you just stumbled in. I think that the only way that God is going to fulfill that plan is by a specific order. And what God gave me was very clearly, and I want to share with you, because I've been asking God, how are you going to do it? Because I'm frustrated. You ever been frustrated? I'm like, God, I'm spinning my wheels. You ever been like on a spiritual treadmill? Some of us are on a spiritual treadmill right now. And we're tired too, but we're really not going anywhere spiritually. And I've been asking God, God, will you give me specific direction? And I remember Riley and Thunder were with me. We were at the conference, and I was asking God for specific direction. I went back to my room. I started reading the Bible, and God gave me clear instruction for this church. And I want to share it with you today. And I believe that what I'm about to share with you, not only is it going to be the formula that builds this church, but I also feel that even if in your life, if you implement these principles, you will experience success, you will experience advancement, and God will fulfill the promises in your life. I was asking God, God, how are we going to do it? Because I don't know how. He gave me Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7, and I want to share this with you. He said, and you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in faith, and as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. See, there are five things that we're going to need to do if we're going to build God's church. And there are five things I think we need to implement within our lives if we are going to fulfill the purpose of God. And this is the reality. Not everyone's going to stay here. I talk often that one day we're going to send Ever to Central America or South Africa. We're going to send him somewhere. Amen. Right? He told me, he said, I remember when he came. And he came and he said, Pastor, what are you going to do with the men's home? I said, I don't know. He said, I'll do the men's home. And he said, I'll do it on one condition. Remember? I was like, hold on. How are you going to ask me to do something and put conditions on me? He said, I'll do it until I raise somebody up and God calls me on, because I feel it in my heart that I'm called to go somewhere. I say that because there are some of you, I don't think you're going to be here throughout this whole process, but I believe that from this church, we're going to send out missionaries one day. I believe from this church, we're going to plant a church in Olympia. I believe that one day we're going to plant a church in Spanaway. I believe that one day we're going to be able to say, hey, you remember so-and-so? Oh, yeah, right now they're in Argentina. Right now they're in Europe. Are you hearing me this morning? How many know that the gospel still needs to be preached, and God still calls missionaries, God still calls prophets, God still needs teachers, and God's still looking for pastors? But there are five things that the Bible says here that the Lord gave me very clear. If we're going to build the church that God wants, the first thing we're going to have to do, as it states in the scripture, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Someone say walk. Look at the person, say, walk it out. So don't go there, but you know what I'm talking about. Walk it out. You know what that word walk means? It means to make one's way, to regulate one's life, to make one's way progressive, and to watch one's conduct. The word walk comes from a Greek word called peripateo, and I love this translation because it says, you know what peripateo means? To walk with the purpose in view. See, when we walk with God's purpose in view for our lives, we live differently. If we're going to build the church that brings glory to God and that attracts people to the genuine gospel, how many know we're going to need real people that have real problems but learn to live according to the Bible? We're going to need people that understand the word of God and not just hear it on Sunday and go back to a different lifestyle Monday through Saturday, but they learn to walk it out. When we walk with God's purpose in view, we live different. When we live with God's purpose in view, we have certain convictions. And as a result, listen, people will see God inside of us. Right? God will use man. That's why the Bible says that he made us in his image. Right? Because we're called to be the light of the world. Some people may never come to church. They may not know Jesus, but the only Jesus they see is the one inside of you. And the one inside of you, I got a question. Is it corrupted by the world? Is it watered down? Or does it look like what the Bible says? Something great happens when God's people learn to walk together in unity. Anything is possible. According to Genesis 11:6, listen to what the Lord said. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. In order to build God's church, it is going to take God's people walking in unity with God's purpose in mind. I've been telling you recently, you know, they're like, well, what's your agenda, Pastor? My agenda is simple. I want you to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. And if you're in this fold, your purpose will match the vision of the house, and you'll be able to propel this thing forward. We'll reach people, we'll break bondages, and we'll bring glory to the name that is above every name. The first thing that we're going to have to do, Victory Outreach, if we're going to build the church God desires, we got to learn to walk in him at all times. The second thing that the Bible says, if you look at the scripture, he goes on to say, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, walk in him. But second, you got to be rooted. Someone say rooted. The word says rooted. That word rooted means rezo, which means to strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix, establish, cause a person or thing to be thoroughly grounded. See, the word grounded speaks of something that is committed or unmovable. And we're living in the day and age where people are blown to and from all kinds of philosophies. People are moved by their emotions. Listen, church, if we are going to build the church that God wants, we're going to have to be rooted. Someone say rooted. Listen, church, we're living in a shaky time. We're living in a time where people abandon truth for passions and desires and selfish gain. We're living in a day and age where people run from truth to follow lies that sound like truth. The Bible even warned us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 5. Listen to what it says. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. What was the Apostle Paul telling this young disciple? He was telling him, listen, it's going to come a time where people are going to walk away from the truth. People will leave their convictions. But he said, not you. You stay grounded. I got a question for you this morning. What are you anchored to? Because what you're anchored to will tell me about your true convictions. Convictions and beliefs are not what we say they are. Convictions and beliefs are what we give our time to and what we give our lives for. But if we're going to fulfill God's plan for our life, we got to be anchored. We got to be anchored to His Word. We got to be anchored to the church. We got to be anchored to the people that He brings into our life. God will bring people within your life to speak over you, to pray for you, and to encourage you along the way. But if we don't learn how to deal with relationships, we don't learn to forgive, God will bring somebody into your life that was supposed to help you, but because we got issues and we never let God deal with the back areas of our heart, we cut people off and we move on. We're living in the greatest day and age where we can just run from anything. Run from our friends, run from our families, not you. We have to be rooted. How do you stay grounded? How do you stay anchored? By learning sound doctrine. Learning sound doctrine. Learning the Word of God in its purity. Not reading the Bible like this is what I want it to mean. More like, God, is this what it really means? Are you hearing me this morning? Is this making sense? Is this helping anybody? I know it's more of a serious message, but 2019 is serious. When something is anchored, it's unmovable. We're living in the greatest day of runners this world has ever seen. People run from their problems. Christians run. But we got to make sure that we're anchored. Number three, if we're going to build the church God desires, the Bible tells us we got to walk in Him. We got to be rooted. But number three, it says built up in Him. See, this has to do with growth, obedience, and understanding. Because in order to be built up in Him, how many know we got to come to a greater understanding of who He is? This is why the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to continually grow in our knowledge of who He is, because the more that we understand Him, the more that we're willing to live for Him. The more that we get to know Him, listen, the more our faith grows. The more that we know about who He is and what He did for us, the more we are grateful and thankful, and it is evident in our lives. See, in order to be built up in Him, we must continually grow. And like I mentioned earlier, one thing I've learned about growth is that growth is a choice. You got to choose to grow. The second thing I've learned about growth is that growth is a process. And this is where you got to, some of us, we're like our own worst enemy, right? You ever beat yourself up? Because you're like, man, I always fail. Man, I'm going to mess things up. Oh, I don't want to get involved because, oh, you don't know me. I'm going to mess things up. Well, listen, you're not perfect. God never designed us to be perfect. He designed us to be faithful. He designed us to be dependent on Him. Because what does the Bible say? In your weakness, I am made strong. so I can offer my weaknesses to God. I am just a man, but a man of the authority of the Lord. God knows I have frailty. Some of you see my frailty. You hang out with me long enough and with one of my kids, you'll see me yell at one of them. Huh? We all got issues. We're all still working. We're all still growing. But God wants to work and build us up in Him. Growth is a process. Isaiah 28:10 says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I love the New Living Translation. It says, He tells us everything over and over, one line at a time, one line at a time, a little here, a little. I didn't just learn to preach the gospel from one day to the next. No, I made a lot of problems. I read a lot of the Bible, and it was little by little that God put something in me. But I've learned this. This is why you have to have a devotional life, because you read a little here, you read a little there, and before you know it, that little turns into a snowball, and then faith begins to compound. And that's why the Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People don't just learn scripture. People don't just one day walk in power. No, it comes from being built up in Him. If we're going to be a church that God gets glory from, we as God's people need to commit to growth and continually being built up in Him. In order to be built up in Him, there will have to be, listen to me, more of Him and less of you. Like, that's a beautiful song, right? Right? There's nothing worth more, right? More of you and less of me. And we sing that with power. More of you and less of me. But think of what that says. Because over time, if we're built up in Him, we'll start looking like Him. Manners and characteristics will model more after the Bible. Over time, if we're built up in Him, when someone tells us off and someone says something crazy to us, the old person would have said something. The old person would have acted irrationally. But the new person says, I'm not going to say a word because God's my vindicator. Right? When your family comes against you and starts talking smack, I don't know what it is, but when Christians, like when you come from that, like I came from that life, right? I came from a different lifestyle, and I was the black sheep of my family. So when I came to the Lord, I thought people would be happy, but instead of being happy, they attacked me. Oh, how long is this going to last? Oh, this ain't going to last for 6 months, 9 months. Oh, we'll see where this happens, right? And at the first, I got mad. Here I am. I'm learning the Bible, and I got to confess. Some of my family members, they were talking crazy to me at one of the family things. I'm just trying to do good, man. I just love Jesus. I started cussing at them. And that's even worse. Oh, is that how Christians talk? Oh, that's how you are? Oh, see, I told you it wasn't going to work. Ugh! Right? What am I saying? It's going to take time. But I've learned something. The more that I read, the more that I focus on who He is, I notice changes inside of me are more like Him. Because I'm argumentative. Catch me without prayer. We're going to argue, amen? Right? I'm stubborn. But look at what God can do. If you're stubborn, where are my stubborn people at? Wave at me. See, I love it. This is what I love about stubborn people. If you can take stubborn people and teach them the word of God, and teach them there's a plan for their life. Those stubborn people that used to cause problems, those stubborn people that didn't give up on a fight when they lost, they're the type of people when all hell breaks loose, they stand in your corner. When nobody shows up, they know how to go and fight for somebody else because they've learned. God can take your weakness and turn it into a strength. In order to be built up in Him, we have to be more like Him. And you know you're being built up in Him when slowly the things that matter to Him now matter to you. Number four, if we're going to build the church God desires, not only are we going to have to walk in Him, not only are we going to have to be rooted, not only are we going to have to continually grow and be built up in Him, but number four, we're going to need to be established in our faith. You know the word establish means to make firm. Establish, confirm, or make sure. Remember the scripture, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith. Now watch how this all works together, right? When we walk in Him, And when we're rooted in him, and when we're built up in him, we now become established in what we believe. What is faith? Faith is being certain of what you hope for and sure of what you cannot believe or what you cannot see. Right? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that the just shall live by faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in order for us to do great works, I believe in healing. I believe in laying on of the hands, and I believe God can heal somebody. I believe that we have yet to see the day where the sick come in like they once did. And some of you in the crowd, not the pastor, some of you, because of your healing, because of what you've been through, you're going to have power within your hands like Peter did. The Bible tells us that Peter was filled with so much power that his shadow would heal people. Well, what's the difference between that power and the power of today? Yes, they had the Lord, but I believe that can happen. I believe that one day, listen, we're going to see people get up from their wheelchairs. You know what's amazing? I was telling the gentleman that we were at the conference, and I ran into the pastor that prayed for me. He wasn't the main pastor. He was a pastor on staff. I was a broken young man. I've told you my story this last year that, man, I was on the verge of suicide. And I came in. I wasn't a drug addict, but I remember for that season of my life, I went through something traumatic. And for 17 days, I got high. I went on a run. But for 17 days, because I was truly on the verge of suicide, I came back from New York City. My father made me go to church. And I remember the pastor preaching. And I don't remember what happened. But they said, listen, if you want a new life, if you want healing, come to the front. I want to pray for you. I don't remember what happened. I remember I came in and I just sat there and I put my head down. And some man came behind me, laid his hands on me. I felt the power of God through my life. I didn't grow up in church. Something happened within my heart. But watch this. You know what's amazing about the man who prayed for me? He was healed of AIDS. It's been documented. He's been going back for 20 years and they can find nothing. And I believe that it was the power that God used with his life that used him to pray for my life and break bondages that wanted me dead. But in order for that to happen, we're going to need people established in their faith that have the power to pray. Listen, some of you got to get so full with this. Listen, you know what faith is? When you're driving on the street, and God speaks to you, stop your agenda, park your car, and go pray for the person at the bus stop. That takes faith, right? It takes faith to go into a neighborhood that nobody wants to go to pray for people. But where are the people that are full of faith? Where are the people that are full with faith that have action behind their faith? The other day, I stopped by. So it was the day before yesterday, I was driving, and God put a family on my heart, so I stopped by because the Lord started convicting me. And you know what the Lord was reminding me of? Eric, good intentions without action are just good thoughts. Right? My intention was good. I thought about them. And I thought, hey, it might be nice if I go stop by. And I almost went home. But the Lord convicted me. He said, all that is a good thought. And I'm trying to grow in that area right now. So when God puts something in my heart, even when I don't want to do it, I'm trying to do it because true faith has action behind it. Are you hearing me this morning? In order for us to be a successful church, in order for us to build God's church, listen to me, in order for us to take this city, we're going to need people that are established in the faith. And I'm going to be coming to a close, but church, I want you to think about that for a second. We're called to take this city. I believe that in our lifetime, we're going to make a difference in the city of Tacoma. We have the opportunity to some way, somehow go in schools and make a difference. We have the ability and the creativity to start programs throughout the city that will change young people's lives. That maybe if that program didn't exist, they would live a different lifestyle, but it's going to take your creativity. It's going to take your faith. It's going to take you stepping out of your comfort. It's going to take you getting away from your hurt so that you can talk to somebody that's been hurt and not add to their hurt, but speak life and tell them how to get out. You cannot give what you do not have. And God wants to heal, and God wants to inspire so that you can inspire other people. In order to take this city, We're going to need people that are rooted, established in sound doctrine, full of faith, so that we can see the impossible. And lastly, this is where I'll truly close. The fifth thing that we're going to need, if we're going to build the church that honors God, and I love what it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in faith, and watch this, this is probably the most important, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. You know what the word abounding means? To greatly expound. It's a thing which comes in abundance or overflows. Now, the type of thanksgiving that the Bible is describing is a specific gratitude towards God. This is what you have to understand, and I said it earlier. Thanksgiving was central to Old Testament worship. This is why people brought their sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. They didn't bring their sacrifices before the Lord grudgingly. No, they brought it with a grateful heart. See, gratitude is something that God can't cultivate within your life. It's something that has to come from your heart. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, have you ever wondered or have you ever noticed that children are sometimes ungrateful? Somebody wave at me. Who is, right? Parents, it's okay, right? My kids are at that stage where I'm having to teach them, boy, I will take what I just bought from you because I have the power to do so. Don't get crazy. Come on, somebody. Right? The other day, and I know I use my kids. My kids are going to hate me one day. They're going to be like, why'd you always talk about us? But I was looking at one of my children the other day, and they got a gift. And they're like, oh, this is cool. He looked at us like, this is all right. And the worst part was it wasn't a gift I gave him. It was a gift that somebody else gave them. They're like, oh. And then he's like, I don't like this. And I had to speak to him and I had to say, hey, be grateful that you got something, right? But the Lord was showing me something about ungratefulness. Because did you know that over time you can become ungrateful? People that lack thanksgiving in their heart, it's because of one of four reasons. Number one, maybe they've grown comfortable. When people grow comfortable, sometimes they lose respect. They lose gratitude. Like some of us right now that have been changed, we're like, God, I'm so grateful for what you did in my life. But over time, if you've been walking with God, you know that you got to cultivate gratitude, because over time, you can almost treat God like, somebody work with me. The other reason people lack gratefulness, sometimes it's due to selfishness. It's all about them. And sometimes we lack gratefulness because maybe we don't have the right understanding. Right? Like my kids right now, they don't understand what I'm doing for them. But I was just watching, I believe it was the guy who was drafted in the first round on the Blue Jays. And I forgot his name. I'm not into baseball. But it was a video and he wrote a letter to his parents and they showed it. I don't know if it was on Twitter or where, but it was on the news. And he wrote his parents a letter on Christmas Day and he had just been drafted. And he said, Mom, Dad, I want you to know how grateful I am. I didn't understand it then, but you went without so that I could follow my dreams. It didn't make sense to me how much it cost when you would send me across country. You had to pay for hotels and you made lunch and you took lunch to work so that you could send me to the finest restaurants while I traveled for baseball. Then he goes on to say, I get it now that I'm older. So this is why I want to express my gratitude to you. I've paid off all your debts. I've paid off your house. Mom, Dad, I want you to know I'm grateful. What happened? Because at one day he didn't understand that. He came to an understanding of what it was that was done for him. Listen, church, God's called us to be grateful. And I'll end here. What would happen if we showed up every Sunday with abounding gratefulness? You know what would happen? people who are in bondage would be healed because of the power of your praise. That's why we worship. That's why you see me get up here all excited and I start dancing, and I may look like a fool, but I don't care. I'm not doing it for you. When I worship, I'm not doing it for you. Eric ain't up here praying for you. I was taught, Eric, you worship and you praise for the audience of one. We come to praise his name. We come to give him glory. We come to honor him. This morning, as you stand with me, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I believe that we can all grow in these areas. If we're going to be effective in causing his vision to come to pass, we're going to need to walk in him. We're going to need to be rooted. We're going to need to continually grow and be built up in him. We're going to need to be established in our faith, and we're going to have to walk in gratefulness. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed,